for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, May the 23rd, 1991. First service of the Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris of Beckville, Texas is the speaker of the evening.
Brother Jack Harris is from Beckville, Texas. Jack Harris is also a prophet of the Lord, and we stand at awe in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord that flows through the ministry of Brother Jack Harris. And Tommy's got another word he wants to say here.
For surely the hand of the Lord is upon thee. Know that the Lord thy God shall move in the midst of thee. Yea, the Lord said, lift up your heart and your hands this night and worship the Lord. Yea, praise thy God and praise thy Creator. For saith the Lord, I shall move in this hour, and I shall move those things that are within thee out, saith the Lord. For I've come to set thee free. I've come to set the captives free this time, saith the Lord. And know that I shall move in thy life and in thy family and in thy situations. So the Lord thy God says, believe this night. Believe what the Lord says. Believe his prophets and thou shalt prosper. For I say this is the time for deliverance and you'll see it, saith the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah. And the Lord would speak further, saying, redeem the time. Yea, for the time groweth short. Yea, know that you will not be among the people that believes that tomorrow will be like today. And the times shall continue as they always have. Yea, if I tell you change after change after change, is taking place, yea, in the universe, yes, and in your life, saith the Lord. Yea, if thou would be one of the apprehended ones, yea, thou must seek the Lord with an whole heart, saith God. Yea, thou must listen for that still small voice, and when it speaks, thou must say, hear my Lord. Amen. Yea, for the Lord thou God shall move mightily in the midst of thee this day, saith the Lord. Yea, and you shall know of insurance that you've been in the presence of the Almighty. Amen. Yea, for the prophet has spoken. Yea, the Lord has spoken, and who is he that can remain dumb, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, but move with the flowing of the Spirit of the Almighty, and you shall live, and long shall be the life of this living, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, I shall bring thee from a little bit to a lot, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, I shall fill your spirit with the knowledge of the Most High. You shall know me as you've not known me before. Yea, thou shalt know more and more against that day when you shall know as you are known, saith the Lord thou God. I tell you now to pursue relentlessly until that day dawns that you know as you are known, saith the Lord. Yea, for in you is the seed of life, in you is the hope of glory, saith the Lord. Yea, therefore I shall anoint thee with an oil of gladness, and deliverance will come. Yea, say not in your heart, I do not need deliverance, for all needs deliverance, saith the Lord. Yea, until thou hast been perfected, yea, you have not, you are not whole, saith the Lord. But I've come to make you whole. I've come to make you perfect, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, say not in your heart, perfection is in a day far removed. Yea, for all throughout the ages of time, I've had a people in the earth, yea, that has heeded my call. Yea, and has rose to heights unknown by the vast majorities. Yea, they found the secret place in me, saith the Lord thou God, and I strengthened them with the power of my might. Yea, and in the safety of my life they live. Yea, and they shall live again too, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, they shall rule and reign with me from on high. Yea, for I tell you now that the Ancient of Days will come. Yea, and he will deliver the kingdom unto the saints of the Most High, and they shall live in my sight, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, but thou must open your spirit of revelation. Yea, for unless you can see this day dawning from afar off, you are not in a good position to receive what the Lord shall say unto thee, saith the Lord. Yea, but if thou shalt listen intently, yea, and if thou shalt ask the Lord to open your spirit of revelation, yea, to open your eyes that you may see. For I tell you now, my people, that until it pleases the Almighty to open the eyes of the blind will never see. But I tell you now that if you will lean your spirit to me, I shall open your spiritual eyes, and you shall see as you have not seen before. Deep calls to deep, and you know that you're in the presence of the Almighty. It is God speaking. Yea, hear ye the word of the Lord. Yea, hear, O Israel, there is one God, and him you must serve, him you must worship, yea, him you must pursue. I tell you that you are among the apprehended ones, saith the Lord thou God. Therefore you have been blessed above measure, and the blessings have only just begun. Yea, I tell you now that the circus has just been started, saith the Lord thou God, for I have many things to say unto you. Yea, howbeit I cannot say them all, for you could not stand the sayings of the Lord, except that you grow a little here and a little there. Yea, line upon line and precept upon precept, yea, it shall come, but you shall surely stand in the fullness of the measure of him who is the Christ, saith the Lord thou God, and you shall live and reign. Yea, you shall overcome the evil one. Yea, and thou shalt live in a complete mode of holiness, saith the Lord thou God. I speak to you about holiness, saith the Lord. Yea, I speak of that that comes from the inner man. Yea, and shall saturate your whole being. Yea, until thou shalt know, that it is the Lord that is directing my life. Yea, then and then only can you say that I am a son of God. Yea, and use the word that is meant for a mature son, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, for you shall surely live because I live, saith the Lord. You may live also. Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Oh, praise the wonderful name of Jesus. That is wonderful, wonderful concern for us.
Hallelujah.
I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. He is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thee in all thy ways. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and coming in, from henceforth and forevermore. Our God reigns.
Yes, hallelujah.
He's clothed with majesty. He's clothed with strength, whereof he girded himself. The earth is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne, O Lord, is established of old. The floods have lifted up. The floods have lifted up their voices. The floods have lifted up their waves. But the Lord God on high is mightier than the voices of many waters. He is mightier than the waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure, and holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our God is forever.
Yes.
He is for real, isn't he?
Yes.
We are a real people in a real warfare against a real enemy over a real truth.
That's right. Yes.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
And I believe we're going to win. Hallelujah. I'm counting on it.
Amen.
I'm counting on you, Daniel. Daniel looked down through the scope of time and seen the saints of the Most High, long about this time, in mortal combat with the beast system. And the beast system was whipping them. And then he looked a little, that made Daniel sad, but he looked a little further and he seen one coming. And he described him as the Ancient of Days. And when the Ancient of Days come, the tide changed. And the saints began to prevail, to overcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glad day. Hallelujah. Who's the Ancient of Days? It's Jesus. Somebody said, oh, here come the Father. No, that was Jesus. The Son. Come. You see, it had to be the Son because the Father never related to time. He's always been eternal. Through the Son, he came into the realm of time and overcome in the realm of time. And so Jesus is the only one of the triune Godhead that could be related to time. He's the only one that could be referred to as the Ancient of Days. God ain't no older than he was 10 million years ago. Amen. Well, of course, the Son is not either in the realm of the Spirit, but Jesus came and into the realm of time and lasted 33.5 years. But he did. That was so he could ascend back to the Father. He just left the realm of eternity and came into the realm of time. He left the realm where everything is forever and came into the realm where everything is temporal. And when he left the temporal realm through death, he ascended back to the Father and took up the life that he had laid down before he came. Hallelujah. If you can understand that, you're on shouting ground already.
Hallelujah.
You can't understand it except by your spirit. Don't hear me tonight naturally. Hear me by the Spirit. I'm teaching you by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah? And so the Ancient of Days come. And when the Ancient of Days come, it give these saints whatever inspiration they needed, and they overcome. And so about it might be kind of like I was in the Battle of the Bulge in the World War II, and you know them Germans they prepared for days, strode the highways behind, they strode them with straw, hay, if you please, and then drove their tanks over it, so it muffled their voices, and bringing them up to the front by the hundreds, thousands indeed. And the Americans and their allies didn't even know they were coming until that morning. I believe it was on the 16th day of December 1944, they launched their attack. And they drove deep, furious, wide, and the American troops couldn't stop them. But finally, the Americans finally brought in some support troops, crack troops. And when the crack troops got there, they came with orders to hold at all costs. And when that army that was falling back seen that there were some troops that was holding them, they'd give them the inspiration they needed. And they started to drive them back where they come from. And we drove them back a whole lot faster than they came. Hallelujah. And that's what Daniel said he seen here. How the beast is driving us. He's made a long, drastic drive, but then comes the Ancient of Days and gives the saints the inspiration. It was said of Patton, General Patton, that if his troops were weary, tired, hungry, and were slowing down, getting lazy in their offensive, that all it took was for General Patton to come up to the front in a tank and just be seen. Just his presence would inspire his men, and they would fight beyond their means. Hallelujah. Just his presence will inspire us. Hallelujah. Amen. And we will react above our means. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke and destroys the fetter. It is not how eloquent we are or how learned we are. Yeah, the disciples, the apostles, the early apostles were ignorant and unlearned, the Bible says. But it is what's motivating us? It is the anointing. Now, look, we could build a good teaching and teach it, but unless, and it would be, it, you know, be good, but it'd be a whole lot better just to let the anointing
lead us. And it'll go ahead and break the yoke and destroy the fetters. And you know, and give us a little bit of slack, a little leeway here. And we'll push on toward the, well, virtually unknown. Hallelujah. But you have to have a revelation of this. If you don't have a revelation of it, so you can, so much of the church world tonight doesn't have a revelation. It's just fundamental salvation. And they believe that they're, you know, they believe this, and they, I believe they are too, a lot of them, you know, I know they get saved in those fundamental, and they've just been sitting in there 40 years, and never growed an inch. They think they got it all. They do. They think they got it all. And they're satisfied. Sometimes I envy them how easy they do. How undisturbed they can remain. You know? Sometimes I kind of look at them and envy them. So, boy, I'm not disturbed by nothing. And he's just disturbing me all the time. Shaking me up. Yeah. Making, oh, hallelujah. And he's full well. He's put something within me that can't rest. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. The psalmist said, I'll be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. And I tell you, without fear of being corrected, that when a person comes to the Lord and sincerely, absolutely accepts the Lord as his personal Savior, that he is saved, that he is no more mature than a grain of corn is a mature stalk with four ears that are matured on it when you plant it. How many of you farmers? You know anything about farming? I'm no farmer. I was raised on a farm. If the Lord hadn't shook me up so, I guess I'd still be farming. Yeah, I'd be just as it is as some of them were talking about this farming, and I love to smell the fresh turned soil. I love to smell fresh mowed hay. I love to see the beautiful plants grow. Well, how many of you know that if you take a grain of corn and you plant it, suppose you didn't know nothing about corn and somebody gives you a grain of corn and tells you, plant this and you're gonna, it'll make corn. All right, so you plant it. And then you wait about 9 days, depending on the temperature, and you come out there, and the first thing you see coming out of the ground is a little old twisted, about like a toothpick. And it's green. It's just twisted. It don't favor that grain of corn one bit. And you know, if you don't know nothing, you'd be in the notion of taking that out so your corn can come up. But that is the corn. And if you wait about 10 more days and come back and look at it, it'll be up about this tall, and it'll have about 4 leaves on it. But it still don't look nothing like that grown corn I planted. But, and then if you wait another 90 days, 60 days, you wait another 60 days, and you come back and it'll have a, it may be as tall as I am. Might even be taller. They have got a hold of height down. But we used to raise it good 12 feet tall. But it'll have a tassel on it no matter how, what size it is. Just tassel, you have a tassel at the top. And well, that plant's still growing, but it don't still don't look nothing like that grain of corn that I planted, does it? And it ain't no good for nothing there either. Unless there's some good up ahead, this thing ain't no good. You see, yeah. God has called us against another day, other than this day that we're in, and he's making us, he's preparing us for that day. And this day he's preparing us for that day, you understand? Well, if you come back a few weeks later, you'd see some silks, what they call silks, that out of them shoots. It's beginning to make shoots. And then wait this little while, come suck one of them back there, and now you see something that looks like what you planted. But it took a long process to get it there, hadn't it? Well, that's the way that we Christians are. When he plants that seed of life in us, and you know, and most of the fundamental Christians believe they got it all then. There ain't nothing but that grain of corn planted there, and never, can never produce anything. because we don't have the revelation of it. Now, with that in mind, I'm going to read some scriptures to us.
Yeah, let me see. Why don't I read from Romans chapter 8, and we'll just get right into this, I hope. And I pray that the Lord will open your spirit of revelation, and you'll hear me by the Spirit, and that the Spirit will speak to us. I invoke the choicest blessings from heaven for you right now. And may the God of heaven open your spirit of revelation and open our blinded eyes that we may see and that we may be careful to apprehend that for which we are apprehended for. God has great things in store for us. Oh, my. It seems so clear to me. Hallelujah. And yet I know that it came to me by... Let me just drop you this, that this life that God is giving us came to me by revelation. Years ago, nobody taught me. I didn't know anybody that didn't nobody know it. Well, there were those that knew it, but I didn't know them, and they didn't know me. We didn't have tapes, but no books, and nobody knew it. And I was with I came up through the Old Lion Pentecostal. And, oh, you talk about old Lane. It was old Lane. But I don't say it derogatory. I appreciate it. They gave me some good, I learned a lot of things in there. I'm just glad that I didn't stay. Yeah. I'm glad that wasn't the end of the journey for me. But it was a good stepping stone. And God began to move in my spirit, in my heart. I began to search the scriptures. Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that speak of me. Then he says, but you will not come to me. Now, what I'm saying to you, and what Jesus said to you, is to search the scriptures, because they're speaking of him. But don't stop there. Come to him. See, that was the Pharisees' trouble. They searched the scriptures, and they thought they had found him. And they thought they knew the Messiah. And when he came, they didn't recognize him. He was no trouble to them as long as he was just a scripture of projection. Beautiful projections of him. And oh, how they basked in the beautiful projections. But one day, Jesus just stepped right out of here, big as life. The Word became flesh and dwelt among men. And now, he began to cause them a problem. Yeah. The Bible said in the 7th chapter of St. John, verse 2, that he no longer walked in Judea, that is, in the Jews' territory, but the Jews sought to kill him. They got mad. They were religious people, but they got mad enough they wanted to kill him. They didn't understand him. And he had come to bring life, an eternal life, but they didn't know who he was. To this day, their eyes are blinded, and they do not, by and large, accept Jesus as the Messiah. And there's not another name given under heaven whereby that man must be saved. He's been given a name that is exalted above every name. You can't come to the Father except you come by him. Amen. You can't get anywhere unless you come by Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You're going to have to accept him, aren't you? Amen. All right. So then, in the 8th chapter of Romans, let's start with about the 14th verse here. Now, we'll just read the 14th verse. I'm going to comment or two. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. Now, we like to quote that scripture and just quote it aimlessly and without giving it any thought. And we're great Bible quoters, aren't we? Yeah. You know, everybody will quote you the Bible. Some of them will quote some Bible that I hadn't. I've heard it quoted mostly before, but I don't recognize it from what I've read. We're great Bible quoters, but sometimes we half-quote scriptures. And we don't know what they mean. You know, James said, if you will submit yourself unto God and resist the devil, chapter 1, verse 7, I guess it is, he'll flee from you. So we used to have this fellow, when I was a boy, coming up in the church, we had this guy that was an elder, and he'd stand up and say, the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, I knew, you know, and he'd do that often. He worked on that passage, but he quoted it like this. The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, I,
I really loved this old elder. I mean, he was a good guy, and he was my kind of my ideal of a Christian. So I got saved. When I got saved, and you know, we came to all these places and got saved, but I didn't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I just accepted Jesus and knew that I was saved. Was, you know, I knew I was. And God, He came into my life, and I was blessed, and I knew it. And so I went on, and it wasn't long until the adversary jumped me. But I didn't worry about that, because I remembered what the elder said, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So I resisted it, but instead of fleeing, he eat on me. Well, he walked on me. And I thought, well, I've got to get back to that elder and tell him. So I came back to the elder and I said, hey, this you say? The Bible says, resist the devil, he flee from you. And I tried it, but it ain't working for me. Oh, he said, Brother Jack, said, you hadn't got the baptism of the Holy Ghost yet. You need the Holy Ghost. Bad. Said, come on, let's pray you through the Holy Ghost. So I came, and you know how they did them, you know, they really exercise you. Yeah. Sure enough, after about several hours of that beating in the back, you know, they beat you in the back and say, let go. Somebody else hits you in the face, says, turn loose. Somebody else says, hold tight. And, well, I tried to do it all, and sure enough, finally I just came into a beautiful experience. All the heavens opened, and my eyes were enlightened. I found myself speaking in a heavenly language. Oh, how thrilled I was, and how thrilled I still am. And I went on about my business, and it wasn't long till I had another encounter with the Mr. Man, the strong man. And I said, well, I've got you this time, because I've done been endued with power from on high. And I resisted, and instead of running again, he eats some more on me. Well, I didn't understand this, so I got my Bible and I read it. And it said, submit yourself unto God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And I said, oh, well, I see now. If you leave off the first part, the bottom of that line don't work. Yeah, you see, if you leave off the top part, the bottom line usually won't work on nothing. But it wouldn't work there. So I taught them, that's right, if you submit to God, then you can resist the devil and flee from him. Now, I learned how to do it. But the secret is this, that when I'm submitted to God, and I rise up to submit to withstand the devil, you see, before it had been just Jack Harris versus Satan. You know that ain't going to be no interesting match. But finally I rise up, and when I rise up in submission to God, it's not just Jack Harris against him. It's the whole church of the living God. It's all the spirit-filled people there is. And when he realizes what all he's facing now, he hadn't got but one option, and that's to run. And that's what the Bible said he would do. You see, if I were to go down here to Hot Springs and run a traffic light, and a cop stops me, if I wanted to, I could get out. And you know, even now, if I wanted to, I could get out, and if it was nobody but me and him, I am confident that I could drive away. I could employ some of my, you know, would come as instinct if I got into that, of my ability to take care of myself and to make war. As I was trained, you know, and had an instinct for it at that time. But you see, what would happen if I'd done that, if somebody would see us, and they'd call the police station, and here'd come a whole bunch of them. And if I still want to make war with them, and if I could still be making a good showing, they'd call Little Rock, and they'd send their police force over here. And then, if necessary, they'd call out the state police. And if necessary, they call out the National Guard, you see? I tell you, man. Now, that's the shape the enemy's in when we are submitted to God in divine order and we rise up to its standing. It's not a one-on-one thing. We're one. You know, the Bible says we're one? We're one in Him, aren't we? All right? So as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, to be led by the Spirit of God, this means as many as have submitted to the government of God. Of course, you can get a translation and say about anything you want it to say now, but there is a translation. And if you go back to the Greek, it'll say basically that. As many as are submitted to the government of God. You have to be submitted to something. It is not just every man for himself. It is not like it was in the days of the judges when there was no king and everybody became a law unto himself. I know that there are a lot of people in this world today that wants to claim that. There are thousands, more, multiplied thousands of people in the world today that apply this scripture to themselves. As many as are sons of God, as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, and they are evidently not led by the Spirit of God. And the word for sons here is a mature word, is the word for sons. So if you would be a son of God, you have to be led by the Spirit. Now, this wouldn't be so difficult, except we're going to run into some difficulties here. And I'll show you here. Let's skip on down to the 18th verse. And in the 18th verse, he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now here, in the 18th verse, we learn that there is a glory that has not yet been revealed, but is to be revealed in us. There is a glory that is to be unveiled, and that glory is in us. And he says, I suppose the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to compare to that. It doesn't matter how much you had to suffer in this present time. Go on to apprehend the glory. And then he says in the 19th verse, and here is the key verse, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now this tells us that there is a creation and there is an expectancy, very earnest expectancy, of the creature. The creature here speaks of the human race, all humanity, and it's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. This waiting implies that it is looking intently, standing on tiptoes, waiting, expecting the manifestation of the sons of God. What is this manifestation of the sons of God? It is a complete unveiling of the sons of God. It is those that has known by revelation who they are, what they are apprehended for, and has positioned themselves to become sons of God. It all comes into, you have to position yourself. You position yourself. You know about curses and blessings. You position yourself under the curses and you will be cursed. If you position yourself under the blessings, you will be blessed. That brother, Bert Prince, curses or blessings, his new book, he deals with this thought, with the thought of positioning yourself right. It depends on where you are positioned. There is no such thing as Christians not believing in deliverance. If they don't believe in deliverance, you don't believe. You just don't believe anything. You don't believe anything. You can't even be saved unless you get deliverance. But you didn't get completely delivered at that point. Now, you're not completely delivered at this point either. I'm not either. But I'm pressing toward the prize, the mark for the prize of the high calling in Him. It is a lofty calling indeed. And the mass multitudes will not find the narrow entrance. But there is a predestinated, and I use that word reluctantly because of my background, but there is a people that has been apprehended to this calling.
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
And when the word quickens to you, and he speaks by revelation, and you feel those chill bumps, well, you feel something is tickling you. Something, well, that, you know what, that's a good indication that you're one that is apprehended for sonship.
Yeah.
Apprehended for the elite. But you have to make arrangements. You have to position yourself. So Jesus said that if you eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, you won't ever die. You'll live forever.
Yeah.
My sheep follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Hallelujah. Well, the church, you see, the church teaches us one thing, and the Bible and the kingdom message is different from that. The church teaches me how to die. To get ready to die is the message of the fundamental church. But the message of the kingdom is to get ready to live.
Yes, hallelujah.
The fundamental church teaches get ready to go, and the kingdom teaches me to get ready to stay. Hallelujah. The fundamental church teaches me believe for divine healing, and the kingdom teaches me to believe for divine help. This is a superior message. To the fundamental message that has been preached. That's why the Bible said, and this message of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness unto me, and then shall the end come. He specified that it would be the kingdom message. Hallelujah. See, there's a lot of things wrong with if you go with the fundamental teaching of, well, I suppose there are those that believe they're going to be raptured up. The thing that's wrong with the rapture theory is that it teaches you that if you got saved yesterday and the event takes place tomorrow, you're going to go up. That can't be. It just cannot. It can't work that way. But if you follow the translation of the sons, the manifestation, it works that way. But they have grown into sonship through believing and experiencing. It's more than just believing God. You have to experience God.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. I have experienced Him. All right. You know, there were those back, I go way back, and I came up to, you know, Latter Rain, Old Rain, Pentecost, Latter Rain, deliverance message of the, when was that, 50s? And so, in the great, when the churches emptied out, and they all went to them great tent meetings, just hoping to see one more miracle. One more miracle, but they're hoping to see. Well, I like to see miracles, but I tell you this, that my hope is not based on that. If I don't never see nothing that I could classify as another miracle, it won't dampen my faith any in Him. And I'm still going to Zion. He'll take us one of a city and two of a family and bring us to Zion. And when He gets you to Zion, He'll give you pastors after His heart. Not after the heart of the people, but after His own heart. And they will teach you the ways of Zion.
Hallelujah.
Well, the church can't claim to be Zion because it elects its pastors. And when you get to Zion, He gives you your pastor. And them that you elect are nothing more than holy politicians. Hallelujah. Because if you can elect them, you can fire them. Nobody hadn't hired me. Now I say this, I preach this like I do at my church, and I say to my church, nobody has hired me, so nobody can fire me. How you like that? Yeah. You haven't hired me? God gave me to you. Hallelujah. Yeah. And if you can hire me, you can fire me. And I don't give you that privilege. I am not called by you, and I'm not making this personal. I am called by God. There was a man, his name was John, and he was sent by a committee down to the River Jordan. Yeah, I don't think he was sent by a committee, do you?
Oh, my God.
He was sent by God.
Yes.
I'd rather have somebody sent by God than a committee. Because I've often said that a committee on a bank board, on any kind of board, they will make decisions that the worst businessman of much wouldn't make on his own. But when you get all of that chemistry mixed, they will just do some of the dumbest things. We cannot leave it. Oh, well, I've got to read the next verse now to stay up with. I can get ahead of this thing if I don't watch myself. I've got to read the next verse to keep from getting ahead of us here. All right?
Please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.
Ahead of this thing if I don't watch myself. I've got to read the next verse to keep from getting ahead of us here. All right? For now, the 20th verse says, for the creature, we've already established who the creature is. The creature is the whole human race. And this creature was made subject to vanity.
Yes.
Not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Oh, my God. All right, now we're waiting for a manifestation of a Son of God who is trying to be led by the Spirit, but he comes on the scene subject to vanity. And vanity means everything that is useless, temporal, of no value, and it derives from Satan. Comes through the human mind. The creature was made subject to vanity. Now we use the word subject in this fashion. If somebody tells you something about a friend of yours, somebody you know real well, and tells you what he done, you ponder that a minute and say, well, he's always been subject to. Or you might be surprised and say, it's hard for me to believe that he's subject to this spirit. the thought is that he was made subject to vanity. That is, he could get off in the spirit of vanity. And he would be enticed to get over in the realm of vanity. He's talking about Adam in the Garden of Eden to begin the human race. He made Adam. His perfect man, as far as perfection went, God gave him dominion over everything in the whole creation, didn't he? Gave him dominion over everything that God had created, over the animal kingdom, of which we are a member of the animal kingdom, over the plant kingdom, and over everything that he had created. God had a man in his own image, in his own likeness, with dominion over everything that God had. God showed it to us, and then he backs off. To the man enters into vanity, and God ever since then has been recovering man from the state of vanity that he can bring him back to Genesis 1:28, where he has a man at the end of this age. You know what God will have? A man in his image. With dominion over his works. That's what he had then. Only this time it won't be a man like Adam was a man, but Adam was the entire human race. But this time it will be a man company. Sons of God. It consists of women and men. There's no difference. They are, if they meet the requirements, the criterion, they become sons of God. So God has a man in the earth with dominion over all of his creation. Now, I said that to say that's where we're headed for. But in the meantime, vanity is walking on us. When Adam was put in the garden, there were trees in the garden, and then there were two specified trees, and then there were the other trees. I don't know how many other trees, but there evidently was a grove of them. And Adam had this one command. You can eat of all those that are listed as trees. The only thing you can't eat of is the tree of knowledge. That's the tree of vanity. In the day that you eat of that tree, you'll die. All right? So Adam then could eat of the tree of life, could he not? I mean, it's not off limits to him. He has access to the tree of life, of which he never partook at that time. He never partook of that tree, but finally he did partake of the tree of vanity, or the tree of knowledge, and he lost all creation into a spirit of vanity, until the wise man said, "Everything is a vanity and vexation of the spirit. Vanity of vanity," saith the preacher. "Everything is vanity." And so creation lapsed into a spirit of vanity. But the Bible tells us here that he didn't make him subject to that without a hope. When he made him subject to vanity, he put a seed of hope in him. Oh, glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The hope, the seed of hope was that it would take hold of this man and lead him out of that state of vanity, and he would not be permanently under the dominion of the government of man and under the mentality of man, of mankind. And the devil planted the first seed to capture the mentality in the Garden of Eden, and I'll show you where he did it. When he approached Eve and said, and Eve says to him, God said, God said that we could not eat, that we could eat of all the trees except of this tree. Yes. And God said that in the day we eat of this tree, we will surely die. But the devil said, Satan said, Lucifer said, he said, oh, you won't die. God knows that if you eat of that tree, you will become as gods, plural. See, man only so far has a mentality of God. In his innocent state, he has just a mentality of God. But Satan, in order to overthrow him and to lead a rebellion and try to take man from God, he introduces the mentality of gods, plural. And it's the plural of gods that's causing us to walk so much in vanity today. Isaiah said, we had many lords besides you. He said, most of them are dead now and forgotten, but we had. And what is gods, false gods? Those things that keeps us from God, isn't it? Hallelujah. So we're coming into the final stages of the sixth dispensation that will launch us into the seventh dispensation, the seventh day. And we're all burdened down with vanity. We're walking in vain imaginations. And the religious world, there's so many theories, concepts. And whatever you want to hear preached, you can almost hear it preached, can't you? And people will believe everything. And if you try your best to walk with God, There are those that will trouble you with thoughts that seems to be true. He that telleth his story first seems to be telling the truth. He that tells his story first seems to be true until it is challenged by another. Somebody comes in to you and you know it's having a problem with somebody else, and they tell you their story. It seems to be true. I mean, you don't doubt a bit of it. It sounded right. Didn't sound true. And you see their emotions are all torn up and sounds true. And then, after a while, comes the other one and tells their story. Now, this first story don't sound as true as it did. But the one that told it first seemed to be true until another came and challenged it. And now it doesn't sound true. I believe the first one was lying. This one's telling the truth. Maybe they're both lying a little and both telling a little truth, eh? Well, but you see, but I made my point. Did I make my point? He that tells his story first. Well, you hear, and people are, I know. Until you make up your mind, until you know what you believe, until you know, we have to know something about what's going to transpire, you know, about the if you die, what's going to happen to you? If you die. Well, if you die in hope of a better resurrection, and it's not just a hope of a vanity hope, a vain hope, then you might make the first resurrection. Well, somebody said, well, what about the first resurrection for sons of God?
Well, the Bible said, I'll tell you the requirements of it. I have to stay right with the Word. Blessed and holy. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 6, I guess. Blessed and holy are they that have part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death have no power. That, well, if there is a first resurrection, there can't be a resurrection designated as the first unless there is another resurrection, can there? I mean, the English language just won't permit it. And then what about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23, and the Lord is the first resurrection, and then it's every man in his own order. These people that don't like no order, they don't know what they like. Because God is the God of order. The resurrection will be in order. Well, if you don't make the first resurrection, well, you're left to make another resurrection. I don't know how many more there may be. But there's some more. There's at least one more. I believe there's more than one more. You have to, if you don't make the first resurrection, you wait on the second resurrection. And then if you have to wait on that one, you're judged out of the books that are opened at the white throne, you know? I'm taking for granted that you're familiar enough with the scriptures that I'm talking Bible to you. I'm in the 20th chapter of Revelation. You follow me here. If you had to make the next resurrection, you have to be judged. But if you go in the first resurrection, there's no judgment in connection with the first resurrection, because we have already been judged worthy to rise up in the first resurrection. But you can't do that if you just go follow the least line of resistance. You will miss it a million miles. If you just follow the least line of resistance, you have to see it. You have to get ready to get in that first resurrection. Let me give you some examples. In Genesis 23, I'm not sure it's Genesis 23. Is that where Abraham goes to buy the lot, a gravesite for Sarah, from Ephraim? He tells Abraham, hey, you and I are friends. What's mine? It's just worth a few dollars. I'm paraphrasing from Texan State. And he said, I'll just give it to you. But Abraham contended that he'd buy it, and you write me out a bill of sale for it. Give me a deed. He made sure that he went to this certain place to do that. All right? Then when he buries Sarah there, then when he dies, his sons bring him and bury him beside Sarah. Then years go by, and Jacob is down in Egypt. And he gives the prophetic projections over his sons, and then he tells them, I die. But come, I want to require an oath from you. I want you to swear to me that you will take me back to the gravesite that Abraham bought from Ephraim. And they swore that they would do it, and they did. That's in the 49th chapter of Genesis. Then in the 50th chapter of Genesis, Joseph, he's getting ready to die. So he says to his sons and to his brethren, he said, God will surely visit you again. God's going to visit you again, he says. There that had been under, years of restraint and persecution, torment. But he said, God will visit you again. Now he says, I'm going to die. But I want you to promise me one day that you will just dry my bones out here. And when God visits you again, I want you to take me to the land of Canaan.
Hallelujah.
Don't bury me in Egypt.
Hallelujah.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's the revelation.
Yes.
All of these men had a revelation. Joseph had probably the most revelation, for he was the latest. One generation moves in revelation, the next generation ought to move in twice as much revelation. The next generation, twice that much revelation. Joseph was a man with the greatest revelation. He had been having revelation and dreams and visions all since he was a boy. And time proved that he wasn't just having a bad time, didn't it? It proved that he was tuned in to God. And he says, and Egypt had been good to Joseph, really. But oh, he wanted to cast his lot with God's people. Hallelujah. There are some of us, perhaps, that could have went another direction and maybe made a bigger splash in life. Well, I don't know whether I could have or not, but there must be some that could. But if I could, I wouldn't. If it was offered to me now, I don't want it. I have already identified with God's people. I cast my lot with you. Hallelujah. Moses told his father-in-law, come and go with us because God's promised us some good things. And if he, and what God does for us, we'll share it with you. Hallelujah. Cast your lot with us. I've cast my lot with God's people many years ago. I renounced a secular life of whatever I might would have done to follow Jesus. I'm coming to Zion with everlasting joy. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, now what was the revelation here? Who knows what the revelation was that they had? We go to Matthew chapter 26 and verse, is it 26? Yeah, chapter 26, verse 51, 52. It may be 28, 27. Yeah. All right. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. But this is a crucifixion. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. All right, the revelation was, now notice that this is the only place the resurrection took place. The resurrection was that these guys had, if they positioned themselves right and got in that realm where the Shekinah glory was going to charge the ground, that it would vomit out the righteous, that they would make the first resurrection. And so they went to all of these material lakes to make sure that they were positioned right to come out in that resurrection. Hallelujah. Oh, and if you grasp that, Brother Stewart, you're just about ready for a resurrection, I'll tell you. It was not by chance or just an idle hope of returning home. It was an urgency that they must be. For they had the revelation that when Jesus, when that blessed Lamb was slain, and when he went into the heart of the earth and came out again, that in a certain realm, a certain radius, around there would be a resurrection of the just. Oh, hallelujah! Oh! Their knowledge got them out of the grave.
Yes.
Hallelujah! Got them out of the grave 2,000 years, hallelujah, ahead of what they're going to call the first resurrection. Hallelujah! They've been already practicing for rulership for almost 2,000 years. And when he comes, they're going to come with him. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord forever. My brethren, would not have you to be ignorant concerning those that are fallen asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which died in Jesus will God bring with him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them that are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and there shall we ever be with the Lord. Somebody said, well, who is he that's coming back with him? If you wait around till I can go for the way of the grave, Amen. I'll tell you who one of them is. Ah, them that die in Jesus will God bring with him. What will he? What's he bringing? Oh, he's bringing me back to claim the redemption of my body. Hallelujah. And I'm going to claim the redemption and then have it changed like unto his glorious body in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. I tell you now that we are alive. If you drink of this blood, eat of this flesh, you will never die. He didn't say that you wouldn't shed this tabernacle. Peter said, the Lord has made me to know that I must shortly put off this tabernacle. Hallelujah. Oh, my. You see, this is sonship. The blessed sons of God. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to rule and reign with him right here. Here's where he done it to us at. Here's where we're going to undo it to him. We're going to do it to him right where he done it to us. We're going to eradicate. You see, when this takes place, what's going to happen? Or at the same time that God descends and we, if we've gone by the way of the grave, come with him. Hallelujah. At that same time, there is a company of sons of God called the angel of the Lord that die in Satan for 1,000 years. And then we're going to, when you got him down, somebody said, well, that's the end. That's all his. No, that's not all his game. He done got his game going too good. He got too much momentum. If you stop him dead in his tracks now, you're not through with him. His influence is everywhere. Vanity has crept into every life. Vanity of vanities. You know what we're going to do? We're going to police the earth for 1,000 years until we eradicate it of sin. And we're going to remove any traces of the devil. Hallelujah. It will be an age of correction, just as this age has been. Only in that age, in this age, we've been full of vanity. But in that age, we'll be full of holiness. And we're going to erase his influence and until we have put the last enemy underfoot. The last enemy is death. And then he's going to present to us a new heaven and a new earth. Wherein dwelleth, yeah, hallelujah, wherein dwelleth, everybody say, righteousness! Free from sin. Hallelujah. Who all wants to be a bona fide son of God? Hallelujah. Amen. You see, blessed be God forever, sons of God. Well, what happens to me if I don't go by the way of the grave? That's my hope. I hope, you know what my hope is? I hope I'll walk into life. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That is, we shall not all die. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. All right. So now, let's turn to Revelation chapter 14, and I'm beginning to wind down here. Hallelujah. Amen, because we done showed you out a lot of good fodder here tonight. Amen. All right. And in the 14th chapter, to begin with verse 1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. These are the sons of God. And I heard a voice from heaven, as a voice of many waters, and as a voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. What did the sons of God do when we started in the 14th verse? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. These have appeared there, and they are those that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. That's the sons of God. We reiterate that it is the sons of God. They are virgins. That is, they're pure. They have not. These are they which were not defiled with women. A woman is ever a type of the church. You know that, don't you? I mean, I'm not just calling it. I'm not inventing anything. A woman is type of church. And all throughout the Bible, she is. These are they that were not defiled by women, by false church systems.
Right.
There are those that are in Babylon tonight, in the Babylonian church. And John sees the last day, just before the fall, and he hears a voice. It's a voice of God calling, "Come out of her, my people." He has the people in there, and he's calling them out. If you stay with the system that denies this, rejects this, you will be judged with the system. You remember Jonathan that had the revelation of David's anointing? Had the revelation that David was anointed to be king? And he wanted so to go with David, didn't he? He loved David. His heart was with him. He wanted to go, but he had a loyalty to his father. I mean, Jonathan was a fine man, wasn't he? I have to admire his dedication, his loyalty, but not to the extent that you see. Always in Jonathan's heart, he had in his mind to come out of Saul's traditional kingdom and follow David, who represents Jesus, you know. He intended to do it. He wanted to do it. And he intended to do it. He would do it next year, next month. Maybe get Saul in a better mood, and he'd break loose from him. But the day that Saul died, Jonathan died with him. And when they took Saul's head, they took Jonathan's head. He stayed with the system too long, and he was judged with it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, some people don't like for you to talk like this, but I'm a come out of the come outers. Yeah, you have to come out and come to Jesus if you're going to follow the Lamb, and you're attached to an order that won't allow you to follow the Lamb. They're too much in minutes, bylaws, and preach. There are some of those fundamentals preach more from their bylaws than they do the Bible. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Their idea is to build the denomination too, not for the kingdom, just for the denomination. They like to boast that we've got the most missionaries, and we've got the most evangelists, and we got the most. That's vanity of vanities. That's the seed of vanity. That's seed of hope. Well, he said we were reading there, heard the whole creation groaneth. Now we learn that the whole creation, that's all of mankind, has something within them that's crying out to God. They groan. And not only they, but we ourselves groan within ourselves. Now they're just groaning to vanity, but we that have that seed of the new day, we've got the seed of the new day already in us. So when we groan within ourselves. Hallelujah. Amen. We're giving initiative to that seed of the new day that is in us to come forth. Hallelujah. But when the creation when the other creation that doesn't have that new life, the life of the new day in them, when they groan, it's just a groan of vanity. Groaning to vanity, hoping tomorrow will be better than today was. Yeah. Hallelujah. But we're groaning with them, but we know what we're groaning about. We're groaning. Our groan is not going into the realms of vanity, but it is within our, we groan within ourselves. Yeah. Oh my God. Have you ever caught yourself just groaning within yourself, travailing in prayer, in agony? Hallelujah. It's because you have this life of the new day in you, and you're groaning for that life to break forth. Hallelujah. Amen. And to manifest you as the blessed Son of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I told you it's a lofty calling. Nobody will just venture in here. Hallelujah. Amen. Nobody will. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just take this, I get a little old magazine. I've been getting that thing for years. I think it's called the
I think it's called The Preacher's Digest. And it's published by a well-known fundamental denomination. And I don't know where I get it. I just check it every once in a while to read it, see. I think that the only reason I continue to take it, I want to see if anybody will ever quote a scripture in it. Or make a scriptural reference. So far, they're batting 100. Now, this is what gets me. You can read these messages, and before you read it, it tells you Dr. So-and-so preached this message on a certain Sunday, a certain year, in a certain place, before an audience of 2,500 or 8,000 or whatever. And you read it, read the message. Now, this is elite. And not one time did Dr. So-and-so refer to one scripture. He didn't take a scriptural text. He made no reference to the Bible whatsoever. And I said, well, I read them. I turned back to the title to look again. It's well, I guess so. Well, it says doctor, and he sure ain't no preacher. No reflection. Doctor, no. He's a doctor and a preacher. And I have an idea he's good at both. I know he's good at teaching. Praise the Lord. And the Lord has moved in his heart. He's following the Lamb wherever he goes.
Yes.
There ain't many in his profession that'll do that. No, not many. God's touched him with a special touch. My spirit bears witness with Doc. I have admired him since I met him. Hallelujah. He loves God. And he's such a... he has a burden for our deliverance. For my deliverance, for your deliverance. I tell you, I don't know where there's another people like the people that comes to Lake Hamilton and those that live at Lake Hamilton, Brother Glenn and Irma, and the others that are here on the campgrounds also, but Brother Glenn and Irma. Glenn is one of the most compassionate men that I have known, and Dr. Noel is also. Praise the Lord. Only God could do that. Men that has this kind of compassion also has the ability, if they walked in the realm of vanity, they could be real hard. Real hard. Just like they're real tender. That could reverse and be just real crusty hard. It's what God has done. They're moving into the realm of the elite.
Yes.
Not defiled by women. I don't know of a church system that will accept this ministry and this entire ministry. We preach. People come to Lake Hamilton and just preach the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Nobody bothers them. Glenn he's never has tried to check me in nowhere. He's given me full reign, preach whatever the Lord lays on the heart.
Yeah. Amen.
And Glenn bears witness that it is the truth. See, I don't have any reason to preach it other than just that the Lord's laid it on my heart and part of me. I'm not trying to get a following. I'm not trying to make anything. I don't want yours. I just want you. Hallelujah. You see, I'm not motivated by anything but just the call of God on my life. That's right. So I'm not trying to gain anything from you or from Brother Glenn or from anybody. Make no gain from you. I don't want to. I just want to. I don't owe you anything but to tell you about this revelation. Tell you about Jesus. That's all I owe anybody, is to tell them about Jesus. And it's just that flows from my heart by the Spirit. And that's the reason I'm here. That's the reason I'm here. Hallelujah. You're a great people. Hallelujah. Well, the whole creation is groaning. Somebody said, oh, that's just a temple. Isaiah didn't think it was, did he? The wilderness and solitary places shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with singing. And the glory of Lebanon shall be given to them. And the excellency of Carmel and of Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God.
Strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, our God will come. Our God will come with vengeance. Even our God will come and save us. Then shall the blind eyes be opened, and the deaf ears unstopped. The lame man shall leap his heart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. And in the wilderness shall waters break forth, and springs in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And in the habitation of dragons we slay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and the way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. Wayfaring men, no fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go in thereon. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sadness and sorrow shall flee away. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Let's give him a great big praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord forever. My Lord and our God. Oh, the riches of the treasures that have fell on your ears this night, saith the Lord. You're right from the sure word of prophecy recorded in the Holy Writ. Yea, thou hast been taught. Yea, and the word of God has come unto you richly, saith the Lord. Yea, it is my word, and the words that I speak unto you, they are a spirit. And they are life. Yea, they just continue to multiply and grow and grow and grow within ye until that blessed day, yea, that you will awake in his likeness, and you will be like him, for you will see him as he is, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, there is a people in the earth tonight that is destined to see the face of him who is the Lord of glory, saith God. Yea, and you shall rule and reign with him. It shall not be for a season, it shall be forever. Yea, and you shall never die, for death has fled away, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, it shall be that is eternal and everlasting. Yea, and you shall know as you are known. Yea, for the blessings of the Almighty shall enshroud thee from now until then, saith the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give him another great big praise. Hallelujah. 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 Yea, for know that even now I stand as a great shepherd to lead my sheep, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, I shall lead thee in paths that are green, yea, and that flows with fresh and living water, saith the Lord thou God. I shall lead thee on in truth, and thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. For the Lord of glory shall lead thee as a good shepherd would lead his little sheep, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, I shall make thee to lie down in green pastures, yea, and to feast beside the still waters. Yea, I will prepare for you a table in the presence of your enemies. I will anoint your head with oil. Yea, your cup will run over and over and over and over. Yea, and I shall abide with thee, and thou shalt live with me, worlds without end, saith the Lord of glory. For I have spoken, and who is he that can gainsay what the Lord does offer this night, saith the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank God forever. Praise the Lord. Blessed be God tonight. Let's stand together and lift our hands and voices in adoration to him that's King of Kings, and let him flood our souls. Oh, blessed be God tonight. Oh, mercy of mercies. God reigns. He is alive. Ye are alive forevermore. Oh, praise the Lord. Bless the lovely Lord. Bless the lovely Lord. Thank you, great God. Thank you, O Lord. Praise the lovely Lord Jesus. He's so wonderful to be praised. Hallelujah. Father, I invoke the choicest blessings from heaven for this people tonight that have sat under the sound of our voice. Now I pray, Lord, I'm going to seal this word to your spirit. I seal only that will be profitable to the kingdom of God. If I have said anything in jest, or anything that would be damaging, or anything that would just be unprofitable to the kingdom, I pray that you would allow us to forget it before we leave the tabernacle. But for all that will be profitable to us in our pursuit of the kingdom of God, I seal it in our spirits forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you real bad. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com.